talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
Hey, Scott Spears back here at the Marion County Fair, 172nd edition. And for our final hour of broadcasting from the Marion County Fair this morning, we are joined by a frequent visitor to this station. Usually on the last Thursday of the month, he visits with me from 9 to 10 a.m. For the first 6 years of the station, he was on Charlie Evers' show every month. He is a living landmark here in Maryland. He has been a wrestling ring announcer, a world-class restaurateur, and just about anything else you could imagine. And he's here at the Marion County Fair 1 month now away from his 90th birthday. How about that? George Kosotis, welcome to the microphones in the Marion County Fair.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott.
Charlie, you did that for so long.
I did Charlie so often. Thank you, Scott Spears. God bless you. You are quite known around the community with your WWGH, and I love that. I love that Warren G. Hardy thing. That's wonderful. It's a great thing for the community. And to have a station like you've got, and I've enjoyed it all the years that I've been with you and Charlie, and I'm still here, and I'm enjoying every day at the fair. My wife is also with me here next door to Scott, is her Marion County Auditor's booth, and a lot of people are coming by and asking for what properties and things. But I like to be with my wife, and then Scott came over and said, George, come over and join me. I need to listen to some of your great things that you've done over the years, and I'm still doing it.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Now, I want to let the listening audience know it is so nice that your wife comes here and does that for people, that people can stop. And she has Marion County Auditor for many years now.
Yeah, many, 16 years.
16 years.
And she's going to be on for four more.
But she's not leaving.
She's not leaving.
Good for us.
Yeah.
Good for us. And she'll answer questions out here at the Marion County Fair.
Right. And people just walking by right now and wanted to know about the property values and how is the land value going. She just answers all their questions. And she tries to help out the Marion County, not only Marion County, but all around the county. And we have 15 townships in this county, and a lot of people don't even know that. When they need money, they have a levy, and my wife is in charge of doing the levies. And here she comes right now. She's walking by us. Say hello, Joanne.
Hello to everybody.
Tremendous service at the Marion County Audit Fair to answer your questions. That's a very, very nice thing. Here in the merchant building.
Hey, I'm fine. How are
which
you?
Is now it's the old youth exhibit. I want to talk about, I know this the other day. I knew you were turning 90 this year, but I didn't know it was so close. What's the date?
August 2nd.
Less than a month away. Now, what's it feel to almost be 90?
Just being here. What are you talking about? Just being here. Too many of my old buddies are all gone. My high school graduates, and a lot of my Greek people, all seven of them, Greek buddies are all gone that were here in Marion, and I can name you them, and they all graduated from Harding High School, too, and I did back in the early, the late 40s, early 50s, you weren't born yet.
No, I wasn't around in those days.
But it's been good. Good to me, being downtown, I was in the restaurant business for almost 65 years, and I did a lot of food service for the Marion citizens of Marion, and a lot of the agencies, especially the, I didn't start it. They started the Meals on Wheels back in the 60s and the 70s. Jobs and Services started. And then Agency on Agency got involved in it. Feeding people that were on oxygen to their arms.
You know what I mean? Now, this is real historical value here, because we're at the 172nd Marion County Fair, and when George was born, this fair was...
Oh, it was only 82.
Well, 82 at that point.
Yeah!
When 90? On my birthday, the people don't make it too.
That's true. I know. Look at the obituary, Scott.
The picnic pavilion?
Yeah. There's quite a few hundred senior citizens there.
Now, you're a veteran, and today's Veterans Day. You're at the, now, did they have a... Don't they normally have a veterans breakfast?
Yeah, I was there.
Now, you were a veteran of the...
1980s, but I don't brag about it. But in the 50s, early 50s, there was no way transport back to get the soldiers that died over there. 24th Engineer Battalion, there were 5,000 American soldiers that died there. And they were buried there. They bulldozed them over because there was no way to get them back to country. So what happened later on when people, the guys that did come back, you know what I say? You see a veteran, say, welcome home. Welcome home. That's the most important thing for you to say, because too many of them didn't get home.
That's true. And another hard thing, and the fact of these wars, Korea, World War II, Vietnam, Iraq, all these wars. But boy, if there weren't people like you and people who serve in these wars, we couldn't do what we do.
That's right. And I was over there for a little over 2 years.
Now, for people who, I know you've told it on the station before, but it is Veterans Day. How were you wounded?
We were attached to the engineer battalion. I-M-G-I-N, M-G-I-N River. I was in a...
Thank you.
Yeah.
go back home. I want to go back to Greece. He didn't like the smell.
He wasn't up for that. He wanted something else.
It was some factory smell or something that he didn't like.
And he, but he did live to be 107. Good guy. Now, we have talked about so many people here in the Marion community that you got to know who are no longer with us, but they were such a big part, like Charlie, Madge, Bob Mason, people who were big in
George Turoff.
George Turoff, without question.
Oh, my God, man.
Now, George, boy, you and he were good, good friends.
Oh, guess what? I got him his citizenship. I helped him get his citizenship because he couldn't hardly speak English when he came in 1959. George's two uncles, Chris and Jim Turoff. Chris, who ran the restaurant, Turoff's, who started the restaurant, was the restaurant man. Chris's brother, Jim, was the bookkeeper. Well, Chris started to get real sick. So Jim came over and said, "To what am I going to do?" And I said, "Send money to your sister and have her send George over here." So he sent the money back to Greece, and George came over in 1959.
And had a good long run here.
And so I helped George. I had the books all about getting his citizenship, and so I helped him get his citizenship.
Now, when we look back on those days of downtown Marion, what made those restaurants so good? You had I heard you a repeat of you and Charlie the other day, and you had Turoff's downtown, and you were downtown. And your mother was down there, and we had the restaurant at the Harding Hotel with the Bomuses.
Oh, the Bomuses.
Just all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, really great stuff. Next to the Hotel Harding was Louis Paulson, Paulson's Grill. And then you had the one there across from the old courthouse, where the attorney's office is now. That was another Paulson. That was Louis's younger brother, Nick Paulson. And then there was the Brunswick Cafe on North Main Street, owned by Gus Regulus. Pete and Pat Regulus' dad had a restaurant called the Brunswick Cafe. And, oh, my goodness. And what's the other ones? Oh, next to me on South Main Street, a lot of people don't remember, Stone's Grill. Sam Stone he had chain restaurants in Galleon, Bucyrus, Marion. Stone's Grill, you never heard of that.
No, but I was just thinking the Isleys were, of course, here in those days.
Oh, my goodness, John Isley. John Isley came to one of the first popcorn festivals where I had tables out in front. And he and ten people came with him to have gyros, and they were eating. And I had made a sundae called the Baklava Sundae, which you know very well, Scott.
I love those.
And I made it for this couple, and John Isley came and said, "George, come over here. What was that you just served?" I said, "That was a Baklava Sundae." He said, "Make us 10 of those." So I made 10 of them for his guests. And he ate that Baklava Sundae, and he stood up and it was made in a glass jar. So he hit his jar together with his spoon and said, "George Kasulis just made me a sundae that's better than any of my Isley sundae." Well, you know that.
Oh, I had never had a baklava sundae until, probably about 10 years ago when you came into the station and made a few of them for us. Then Steve Cannon was there at that time.
Steve was there,
and Terry Tackett and a bunch of us, and you whipped those things up. And there is something about those. It's sad. Can you get them anywhere? Not an item you can get anymore, is it?
No.
You have to make them at home.
You have to make them at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, except for the Greek festival in Columbus.
You know, do you ever go to Dublin Irish Festival?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we just recently, I let the listeners know, I think that's in the beginning of August, but they gave us some giveaways recently, so we'll be giving away free passes to the Dublin Irish Festival as we get close to...
That is a nice festival.
That's what I hear.
I've been there. Oh, it's a nice festival.
And I also want to let the listeners know that the Ohio State Fair has paired up with us. I think they start the end of this month and go into August. We not only have fair admission tickets, but we have tickets to the big entertainment shows. So we'll be giving those away over the air from the end of the month.
There's a famous Columbus group. I can't remember the name of it, but they play the Irish Festival every year. He was originally from Marion, and he played in my Kaganvine restaurant bar back years and years ago. So I was at the Dublin Festival a couple years ago, and he came up. I was standing there, eating an ice cream cone, and he came up and he said, "What's a Greek doing at an Irish festival?" And I said, I'm Mediterranean Irish.
So, but you can go to both.
Yeah,
you can go to both. Why not? I was thinking about you this morning, George, and on the morning show, we were advertising the Will Rogers Follies at the Palace, which starts actually this weekend, and it'll be running next weekend as well. You were a part of many shows at the Palace.
Oh, from the 40s. My first shows were, you know, back in the mid-40s. 48, I think, was one of my best shows, 1948. We did a big show, and I did a dance. You know who with? Martha Dow.
Martha, so there's another one of them. She's went on, but boy, her memory's still strong.
Oh, Marty and I were buddies. Oh, Joe and Martha Dow and Cole Cook and I did a dance. Joe taught us a dance one time when Claire was just a young girl.
Well, you know, and you also, you and Martha, and it's a famous story now, but you and Martha, Martha certainly picked up her dance routine, or got the interest from Marilyn Metzke, Miss America, from Marion.
That's who taught us our first dance lesson.
Yeah.
With Marilyn Metzke.
Well, for people who haven't, I mean, we talk about that story on the air, but the actual story, what is the actual story? You and Martha were little kids. She was a year older than you.
Yeah, we were only 11, 12 years old. And the actual Metzke was on South Prospect Street, right across from where Martha Doss grew up. The Doss family. And we heard the music come from the porch, so Martha and I, Marty and I, go up on the porch. We hold our hands up on the screen and we're looking in, and this beautiful lady in her little short skirt was teaching dancing. So we were watching, and a few minutes later, she comes over and opens up the screen door and says, "You two back up." And so we backed up, and she said, "Put that song on." So they put that song on, "Give me that old soft shoe, and like you used to do, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." That was our first dance lesson, which one was heel and toe, heel and toe, heel and toe. From that old song, what was it?
Old Soft Shoe.
Old Soft Shoe. And that was our first dance lesson Marty and I had from Miss America 1947?
I believe so. Well, 30s or 40s. It would have been a while ago. Might have been 30s, because you and Martha would have been kids in the 40s, right?
I think it was 33.
Martha was 40.
No, it was 47, because she was Miss America 37, I think.
Well, let's see. You were born in
32.
So it would have been the late 30s then, if you and Martha were little kids.
We were 11 and 12 years old.
Oh, 11 and 12. So it would have been the 40s. You're right.
It was
early
40s. Early 40s. Probably 42, 43.
Isn't that something? Well, you know, when we look back on these people like Martha and Joe Manasi and... You know, they were business owners as well. People owned their businesses back then.
Oh, yeah. Joe had the market, Manasi's Market. His dad had one downtown, and he had one on Silver Street. Joe's dad had one on next door, two doors away from our restaurant.
And Martha had, I don't know, well, by the end, I think there were 7 dance studios.
Yeah. But Joe's dad was Chris. Christopher Manasi. Chris Manasi was his dad. And he had the market just south of us on 176 South Main Street. And then Joe had one on Silver Street. Joe had a market on Silver Street. Oh, the Manasis, the Casertas. You really want to know it. The Greeks and the Italians were the ones that really had the grocery stores, the restaurants. And then guess who came along? Beanie Nicolosi,
oh.
And then his son Mike Nicolosi was a great restaurateur. Oh my God.
Now Mike used to own the Doubles fast food chain up on Main Street, didn't he? Or his son owned it. Who was it?
No, he owned it.
Good sandwiches.
Oh, great.
For a fast food place.
Then he started the Scotch and Sirloin. You remember that?
Somebody was talking about that the other day, and it said that building's no longer there.
It's no, yes it is.
Is it still there? Which one burned down? Which was the one that burned down? Was that the...
The Chinese guy, or the who was the one, Mexican guy at the hounds, the old Scott.
Oh, that's right, where the Mi Jalapeno is. No, not Mi Jalapeno. We'll get it all worked out. El Campesino.
El Campesino.
Yeah.
That's where the Scotch and Sirloin.
So what was the place that was across the street that burned down the big building? The Brown House. Wasn't that the Brown House?
The Brown House.
Yeah.
That's the one that burned down.
Yeah, that was a shame. Beautiful building.
That was a beautiful restaurant, too.
Yeah.
There was two or three owners to that. Because for the many years I was there, the people passed away, and then a new owner took over. Three different times over the 50, 60 years.
Now, have you been down and had a tomato pie at Amato's yet?
Oh, yes, I've been down there. You know what I like? The black and blue salad.
I haven't been in there yet. I gotta go. So what's the black and blue salad?
You won't believe the black and blue salad at Amato's. It's a garden salad. It's a beautiful salad with a lemon. I think he uses vinegar instead of oil. A lemon vinaigrette dressing. But he puts a little filleted steak on the top of the salad. Sliced. The steak is about that big, and it's sliced. And that's the black. And the blue dressing is a blue dressing. I call it the black and blue salad.
Well, I'm going to have to go down there and check that out. It's nice to have restaurants that's downtown.
Try the black and blue salad.
Black and blue salad down at Amato's.
You know who likes that?
Who's that?
Mary Ellen. She loves that.
Oh, Mary Ellen loves that.
She loves that salad.
You know, Mary Ellen just opened her museum, and you've got to get over there and see that. That is a beautiful thing.
I haven't been there.
Yeah. Great thing they've done at the Historical Society. And we've got a lot of great things in Marion now. President Harding, we've got his home. And that new. Have you been in the new museum?
Oh, yes, I have.
What do you think of that?
Oh, my God, that's beautiful. I went to the waffle breakfast. Remember that? You heard about that?
I did.
Oh, that waffle breakfast is great. Oh, my God. That room where we're sitting can seat 100 people. And that room that looks out over the yard. Oh, my God, that's beautiful.
I don't think it's used a lot. You know, I hope that you're able to use that for a lot of events like that.
It should be used because it's a beautiful room. Oh, and I can't say enough about the director.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Her name just flipped my mind, but she does a lot of great work over there.
Oh,
Harding
Hall. She did a beautiful job.
Sherry Hall.
Yeah. Oh, wow. She did a wonderful job. God bless you, Sherry. Thank you for all you do.
You know, a lot of great political history here in Marion, of course, with President Harding and Norman Thomas and Mary Ellen Withrow, and now our mayor's running for state treasurer. A lot of good stuff around here.
Yeah. Would you believe Scott's running for state treasurer?
State treasurer.
I can't believe that.
You know, I saw this morning, I think he got endorsed by the Teachers Union of Ohio.
I think he did.
Yeah. Good for him.
Good luck, Scott. You're out there. It's wonderful that you're doing that because I don't know who the other... You know, a lot of people say, who's that state treasurer? I don't know who he is.
It's Bob Sprague, but I only know that because I kept up when Scott announced he was going to run.
Oh, did you know?
Yeah, before that, I didn't know.
I didn't.
But, you know, I'll tell you, though, we've kind of got a Republican run going on here in the state now. I don't think there's a state office holder except Sherrod Brown, who's not a Republican at this point.
Well, they're all Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
a little different than it used to be.
There's too much bickering going on between the Democrats and the Republicans. I think it should be one party.
Well, it is. It's a lot of stuff. But, you know, interestingly enough, we've got the first woman ever nominated by a party to be governor of Ohio with Nan Whaley and the Democratic Party. That's history.
Oh, that is history. And I've met Nan, and I'm sure you have, too.
I have.
She seems like a nice lady.
She is a nice lady, a good lady. She's open to the media. She's an open person from down there in Dayton. But it's a tough road, as Mary Ellen would tell you, it's for women to run for office. They judge them a little differently than they do men. Well, your wife has been in politics.
16 years now.
Absolutely.
And now she's unopposed for November, so my wife is going to be the auditor for another 4 years, and I'm going to be 100 years old before she gets out of there. But she loves it. She's a lot younger than I am, 20 years younger, and she does a great job, and And best wishes for, well, look at the Vice President of the United States. Instead of Vice President of the United States, I don't know how she's doing, but...
It's interesting. I mean, did you ever think you'd live to see the day, George, of $5 gas prices?
I remember back in the 30s and the 40s, it was 15 to 20 cents a gallon.
What about the groceries? Going to the grocery store now. My goodness. 3 pounds of hamburger will cost you $13, $14.
Yeah. The gas prices and the food prices and property values. Oh, my God. Homes bought for $300,000 in Marion, Ohio. Who ever heard of a home bought for $300,000? More than $300,000.
47 minutes past the hour here. 13 more minutes with George Kasotis, a Marion treasurer here. About to turn 90 years old on August the 2nd. How about that? 9 decades. And pretty much all of them spent here in Marion, right, George?
All of them, yeah.
Now, where exactly were you born?
Caledonia.
Oh, man. Have you ever been to the Christmas celebration over in Caledonia?
Yeah. Well, actually, my mother and father, my father settled in Caledonia back in after the First World War, 1918. He was wounded and stayed a couple years in the Chillicothe Veterans Hospital, and he got better. He was gassed in the Argonne Forest, and he stayed at the, he was lucky to get back to America. The Red Cross brought him back, and he was in Chillicothe for 2 years. But while he was in America, from 1915 to 1918, he came to Ellis Island in 1915, and you'll never guess who was there on Ellis Island. J.P. Morgan owned the New York Central Railroad, and he inducted all of those immigrants to work and lay railroad tracks across America. And my dad worked for J.P. Morgan on the New York Central Railroad and worked from New Jersey until a little town called Martell, Ohio. Martell, Ohio, back in 1918, was building a plant called Pillsbury Flour Plant in Martell. And that's where my dad was working. While he was there, on weekends, he would go over to Caledonia and met some people, and he built a house there. He built a house in Caledonia, Ohio, because he knew he was going to go back to Greece and marry my mother. So when he went back to Greece, In the late 20s, early 30s, he stayed in Greece for a couple of years. My mother carried me to Ellis Island in the early 30s, and I was born here. But we went back to Caledonia, and I spent my first 2 or 3 years in Caledonia. My dad died in 1941, and we moved to Marion.
Got about 10 minutes left here with George Kasotis in our broadcast here this morning from the 172nd Marion County Fair. We will be on tonight from 8 to 10, Angie and I, so tune in for that tonight. That'll be live programming. And coming up when this program goes off today, we have a repeat, the best of the Charlie Evers Show, coming up at 1:15. Hey, George, you could be on at 1:15 in one of those repeats with Charlie. Who knows? I hear a lot of you and Charlie during those repeats.
Oh, those repeats are great. And I want to tell you, back in 41, we moved to Marion. In 1941 and 42, we opened our first restaurant, the Home Cafe, at 176 South Main Street, and now that was the Balsinger Building, and the letters on the Balsinger Building just fell off of there last week. It was on the sidewalk, and I said, Joanne, that building, that's where we started our first restaurant called the Home Restaurant, and that was the Home Cafe. That's back when, Hunter, would bring pheasant and rabbit and all kinds of animals. And I would skin them and cook them, and we made rabbit stew and pheasant stew. And, oh, my goodness, those were the days, my friend. I thought they'd never end.
Now, George, a lot of people have asked me about this. Now, the Home Cafe was the first one.
Yeah.
And then there was...
The Crest Restaurant.
The Crest. Now, what was the Crest? How is that different than the Home Cafe?
Well, the Home Cafe had beer and wine license when we bought it. So my mother kept that for a few years until we bought the Hamburg King. The Hamburg King was where the Crest restaurant became. And we bought that from a gentleman who was dying. He was Greek, John Sackle. We bought that from him at probably 44, 45. And we ran that 46, 47, 48. And then when that got to the point where we closed that out, and then we did that, we remodeled the whole place, and we called it the Crush Restaurant.
Now, which one was the one that had the piano and the performance, the grand piano?
The Keg and Vine.
Now, where did the Keg and Vine fall in? Did one Home Cafe or Crush close, and then the Keg and Vine started?
I closed the Crush Restaurant and started the Keg and Vine. I started that.
And then and that had live entertainment.
Oh, my goodness. 20-some years of music. And the lady that ran the first Follies, was Phyllis Miller, and her trio played there.
Now, how did it get from the Keg and Vine to the Cafe George?
After I married Joanne in the early 80s, I had the Keg and Vine for quite a few years, and Joanne said, "Sure, why don't you just call it Cafe George?" Joanne talked me into naming it Cafe George.
You know, I love the Cafe George. I remember coming in there with some relatives and friends, and I don't know what it was, but the lemonade in there tasted so good on a hot day.
Oh, I had that lemonade. I made that special.
Yeah, that was good lemonade. I've never tasted lemonade. I don't know what you did. Did you dump some lemon juice and olive oil in that lemonade, George? It was good. It was good lemonade.
It was the best. It was.
But you were also famous not only for baklava sundaes, but the Greek salads.
Oh, the Greek salad was number one. Yeah.
Now, what's in a Greek salad for people who don't know?
Everything that the kitchen sink.
Everything goes in there.
Everything.
Load it up. Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, we really don't have this variation of food like we once had when George Turoff was downtown and you were downtown and the steamship, what was the Bowman's signature? Steamship Round?
No, the Steamship Round. Oh, yeah. That Steamship Round was unbelievable. I used that for my weddings. I did so many weddings over the years at the women's club home, and every time I did one of the biggest ones was for the Lovewick daughter. One of Cleo's granddaughters got married. Oh, my goodness. I did a wedding for the Lovewick family.
You know, I was thinking earlier on, we were talking about people like Martha Dowse and Madge Cooper and Leo Ludwig and a bunch of them. You were talking about your Greek friends downtown. The Hamilton brothers. We didn't talk about the Hamilton brothers. Oliver and Merle.
Oliver Ham. We called him Ham.
He lived to be 104.
104.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Unbelievable is right.
I saw him a month before he departed. And he was in a wheelchair, but he was still getting out to events.
Oh, he was everywhere. Oliver Hamilton was Mr. Marion, really. That's what I used to call him.
Well, he was such a magnet. He really had a good time. You could tell he enjoyed, and a big supporter of Ohio State.
Oh, a big supporter. And he loved little kids. He would always see a little kid, and he'd always grab them and rub their head or
good
rub
advice.
Their shoulder.
Well, his grandkids loved him. His daughter loved him. And, you know, he was just a good provider and I think had a lot of good. Well, somebody we lost recently in the last 10 years, John Keegan. Not John Keegan. Oh, John Keegan's still with us.
Oh, John.
Yeah. Who am I thinking of? John. Oh, boy. His name just left. He used to. Fulfillment. Why am I forgetting his name?
I thought it was Courtright, but it's not Courtright.
No, Courtney. We got it. We eventually got there.
Courtney was a good guy.
Yeah, I liked him.
And Eddie Morris is his assistant who took over. You don't know Eddie.
I didn't know Eddie. I knew
Jack. You heard the name Eddie Morris?
I heard the name.
Eddie and I was, well, Eddie was behind me in school, but Eddie was, I didn't call him Eddie. What was his other name? Morse was his name. He took over from Courtney, and Eddie was quite the guy.
I'll tell you, another guy downtown was Lou Conkle, the lawyer. I love him.
Oh, Lou Conkle. His daughter is still here.
Yeah. Lou was such a funny guy. He lived up in his 90s, too, 92 or 93.
He'd walk across the street with his cane to come to my restaurant every day. His office was right across the street from me. And Lou Conkle was quite the genius lawyer of Marion, really.
He really was. He was in with Howard Guthrie, I believe.
Yes, he was in there. I used to do the annual lawyers, judges dinner. I did that at my restaurant. And one year, I had them all in there, and the judge from the city municipal judge was Charlton Meyer. You remember that name?
I do.
And Charlton was late, but he came in the back door, and in that black suit that looked like a tuxedo, and he looked up. I was, all the attorneys and the magistrates and the judges were eating, and Charlton looked up at the bar and said, "George, what is that I smell?" I had these eucalyptus leaves around these candles, these jar candles, and the warmth from the candle made the eucalyptus smell in the room. And I said, "Judge Myers, the 12 Caesars wore those around their hat because it was medicinal, and if you didn't feel good, it made you feel better, right?"
Right.
So Judge Myers goes over and picks one up and puts it on his head and jollies down the aisle and says, "Look, everybody, I'm Julius Caesar."
I can believe that on Judge Meyer. He had a good sense of humor.
Oh.
Good sense of humor.
Mr. Morrill, Ohio. Morrill.
Yeah.
That's where he was.
Absolutely. And really one of the big, big proponents of the Historical Society.
What is that? Scott. Now, I'm thinking of the township.
Is it Tully?
No.
Or Scott Township?
No. Well, anyway, they have the township meetings all the time. We used to go up there. He used to have events. I used to cater in his barn.
Yeah, you used to have those barn parties.
You know, those big barn parties.
Well, I do want to let people know it's 58 minutes past the hour. We'll be done here in about 2 minutes for the day, but I do want to let people know that today is Veterans Day at the fair. Even though getting in for free is over, that ended at noon. If you see a veteran at the fair today, thanks. What do you do, George? You say,
"Welcome home."
Welcome home. And tonight at the grandstand at 7:30, we have got the truck pool. Tomorrow night at the grandstand, it is the demo derby. And it will be rides open at noon for the next 2 days of the Marion County Fair. Well, George, my goodness, it's been fun visiting with you this hour. And I'm sure we will see each other soon, hopefully before your 90th.
Thank you, Scott. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you, Scott.
George Kosotis, a living legend here at the Marion County Fair 172nd edition. Remember, I'll be back on tonight from the fair with Angie Evers from 8:10 until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Catch us on the net, WWGH1071.com, or download the free TuneIn app and search WWGH all over the air at 107.1 FM. This is Scott
WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows the story, obviously, of what happened there. But when that all was going down, because that's a rough period, that's a rough year. And, you know, as it comes out in Sports Illustrated that, you know, these emails were flying around on April 2nd and on December 9th, you publicly said you didn't know anything about it. And it all came down that way. Do you wish you had said, "Yes, I know about it" on December 9th, or have reported it earlier?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that you have all the dots connected there. But if you ask, do I wish throughout the course of the entire situation that we would have made some different decisions, you know, without a doubt. But I'm not sure you have it exactly right.
What did I have incorrect? I want to be correct with this.
Well, you know, that's for you to try to figure out and you know, for you to know or not know, but, you know, it came down the way it did.
To former Ohio State Marching Band Director John Waters.
From what I understand, the defamation lawsuit is a $1 million lawsuit. I think that's what's been reported. Who knows if that's